Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and I am the host of this show. My guest this evening is Mal Duane, author of the upcoming book, Alpha Chick, Five Steps for Moving from Pain to Power. Mal is a successful businesswoman who has overcome physical illness and grief by claiming her own power through the 12-step recovery model, and through the five steps outlined in her book. These were divinely inspired. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Mal Duane.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mal?
I'm wonderful. And thank you so much for this opportunity to be with you and your listeners tonight. I truly appreciate it.
I know, and I am so appreciative of you coming on. I've read your book, and we cannot escape the date for its launch, which is the 14th of February, you know, the Lover's Day. That's so cool.
I know. I picked that day, Kate, specifically for women because I want them to give themselves a gift of self-love.
Yes, and I believe that is... It's a gift of self-love that not everybody chooses to take, but I believe more and more women are choosing to take, and that is the most beautiful thing that we can imagine.
Yes.
So, I mean, it took me a little while to download the action guide, which you have so generously provided in your book. But your story is so moving. I think we have to touch upon your story before we get into your steps, because what I really value about your story is that so many women are going through the same thing with addiction through alcoholism, or many times it's through pharmaceutical drugs. Nowadays, these drugs are being prescribed at greater and greater rates. And I think women need to hear a story of recovery that is so honest, such as yours. And so many people are afraid to go into recovery, or there's just, well, of course, the disease of alcoholism is so much, let's say, denial, as you know, and as I know, because I've gone through it myself.
Huge. Yeah.
It is huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I started drinking at the age of 16. I didn't mess around. I jumped right in. And the reason why I used alcohol at that age was to feel good about myself. I had no self-esteem, no sense of self-worth. And so alcohol gave me this false courage. I was 6 feet tall. I weighed 100 pounds, so I was subject to a lot of bullying.
And
I know, a sight for sore eyes. And it worked for a while. I must say, in those teen years and early 20s, it seemed to be, you know, keeping me afloat. But I had a very, you know, painful breakup of a relationship, my first true love. And, of course, I just assumed it was because, you know, it was all me. I wasn't worth anything. Who would want to be with me? And then there were several more failed relationships through my 20s that just compounded that self-hatred and self-loathing. Then I got married, and I ended up getting divorced, which just pushed me further into a dark hole. And now the alcohol wasn't working anymore, Kate. Now I'm getting sad. I was getting depressed. This was like a monkey on my back. It was getting heavier and heavier to carry this around, and it wasn't feeling good any longer. And so after 25 years of doing this, I was really looking at death as an option, as a way out, because I didn't think I could go on. I didn't think I had the ability to make a choice about what I wanted to do. I felt completely lost. And I thought, well, death might just be the best solution. And when I was at that lowest point is when I heard a voice I had never heard before speak to me. And it was in my head that I heard, "You're going to be okay. Your life's going to be fine. You have work to do. You have lessons to learn. And once you've mastered these lessons, you will need to go and teach others." And, of course, that's where I'm at now.
It's very powerful. How many years did it take you to come to this point? Well, how long have you been recovering
23
for?
Years. I've been in recovery for 23 years. Yep. And I will say that I was blessed that I immediately got into AA, and I was blessed. I managed to stay there, and I managed never to pick up another drink. And I know that's not how it always plays out. But I was very fortunate, and it worked for me. And I think one of the reasons why is because for the first time in my life, I felt like I was in a room with like-minded people who understood me and were not judging me.
Right.
And that
I love AA. Absolutely love AA. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it gave me such a sense of comfort that I never had before. So I kept going back. And the people could not do enough. You know, they couldn't do enough for me. They were real. They cared.
Yeah, there's really nothing like AA. I wish people would realize that. I don't know what it is that people who really need it, a lot of people do not take it to heart.
Right.
And I was fortunate, too, because I loved it. I loved being surrounded by, on one side, a lawyer or a doctor, and on the other side, somebody who may have stolen lots of things, and I doubt if they committed murder. But, you know, pretty much they were in jail for, lots of them were in jail for DUIs, multiple DUIs, and this kind of thing. And everybody was on the same level. Nobody was better or worse than anybody else.
Yep.
That, and of itself, is a tremendous spiritual lesson.
Yes. We, you know, we all have a past. We all have a history. Every woman I ever talk to has something going on. We're all recovering from something. And this is what really I discovered as I started talking to so many women. We all are recovering from something. And it's either something with substance, some kind of habit, a failed relationship, a failed marriage, the loss of a job, the death of a loved one. But we all have something that we have to deal with.
Yeah, and we have to come to a spiritual path, I think. And we have to feel the pain, but I think that once we have surmounted that, it's important to embrace the messages, the lessons, the love that is involved with all of it.
I used my pain to teach myself how to transform my life. There's a lesson in our pain. There's a lesson in our suffering. We need to look for it. There's something there. There's something that we need to learn. And that's what puts us on the path, the spiritual path.
Yes, the story of your beautiful niece. Oh, my gosh. What a saint.
Yes, wonderful young woman. And just, you know, dealt one illness after another. I mean, the odds. She was given a death sentence at a young age. But every day, she got up and she lived life with commitment and grace. She wanted to be the best she could be that day. And that's how she lived her life. And she was always concerned about others and what she could do for others. And this, her spirit has inspired me. Well, it did, to write the book. I felt like she was with me every single day through the writing process. And the book is dedicated to her because I want women to embrace that grace, that commitment, that courage. It's a gift.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's a lot of people who have that kind of disability do have that kind of power. And, you know, it's just phenomenal to see. We can learn so much from it.
What women
nobody should ever complain again, right?
I know. What women should learn is with illness, it's not who you are. It's not your identity. It's an illness. And God, you know, we know that there's some terrible illnesses out there, but it doesn't need to become who you are.
Well, those are very profound words, extremely profound.
Every day and live life, even with, you know, an awful illness.
Well, if you do identify with your illness, you are becoming a victim. You have become a victim. And that is why it's not advantageous to identify with an illness. Yeah.
And you, because you're in the medical field, in nursing and everything, correct?
Yes.
I'm sure you see a lot of that. People become consumed.
They do.
They let it take over. However, if you have a really good spiritual practice, I think you discover your truth and your higher guidance and that higher voice that we are all born with. And you start to tap into that, and I think it changes the perspective and the management of our life experiences. It did for me. That was my saving grace, was discovering a spiritual practice, which led me to this five-step process that I have used to transform my life and to stay on my path and stay in my light and stay strong.
And, well, your niece did not identify with her illness in any way, shape, or form.
No.
From what I gather. And
no,
I think that so the fact is that for you to say what you say about not identifying with your victim, you know, stance is just is probably directly because of your niece's experience, because not too many people see it that way.
No, but you with an illness, it's part of your life, but it's not your whole life.
No,
and, you know, without going into the details of her illness on the show, I mean, she had several things going on that were all, you know, life-threatening. I mean,
very complicated,
extremely complicated situation. But she had that grace and commitment to get up every day, and even days that she didn't feel good. I mean, at the end, she was in law school. She was becoming a child. She wanted to be an attorney for children, a child advocate. And here she was, very sick and still going to law school every day.
Oh, the students and colleagues of her must have been in awe of her strength.
Yes.
That's what she must have taught them. It's beautiful, really.
Yep. They dedicated the yearbook of the of Boston College Law School to her. So, very, very powerful example, you know, of how to live life and how to maintain a perspective and connecting to that higher voice, living with, you know, a spiritual practice, of not getting caught up in the ego and other people's opinions. I mean, very, very strong example.
Yes, and that is, well, it's true of being an author, too. You can't compare yourself to anybody else, and you can't look at other people and their achievements and think, oh, well, I can't do that. It takes a very strong, you know, to me it's a spiritual practice, just to walk through all areas of life and to be yourself, your authentic self, and not think that, well, certainly you're not. The ego has to, you can't say, walk into a room and say, here I am. You have to walk into a room and say, here you are, you know, that kind of thing. It's so important to be other people centered.
Right.
How can I serve?
Yeah. Women, mm-hmm. unfortunately, are very driven by other people's opinions. They're very driven by their own chatter of their own lower self, that ego voice. And that's what I hope to teach them through the five steps of faith, is how mm-hmm. to get inside, how to get in deeper to that higher consciousness, that awakened state. That's what I call an alpha chick, is an awakened woman. She's
mm-hmm.
dealing with the higher consciousness. She's the deliberate creator of her own experience.
Right.
That's where I want to bring them, to discovering that authentic self, so that they can live life as deliberate creators with passion and clarity and discover, you know, how wonderful they really are.
Mm-hmm. And beautiful and ravishing.
Yes.
And we don't let age hold us back. You know, the older we get, the more beautiful we are.
Well, Kate, I'm 64. Mm-hmm. I'm releasing my first book. I don't feel like I'm 64. A lot of people say, what are you thinking of at your age? You can't do this. What do you mean I can't do this?
Oh, heavens. Of course you can.
Yes. Nothing is stopping me. And
right.
I'm already thinking about my second book, and I think you know I've been on a media tour for the last 3 weeks. I've been working 14 hours a day for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And loving
nothing
every moment.
Nothing is stopping me. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm passionate about it.
Right. And this is what our generation has the opportunity to teach the whole society, really the whole culture, is that as we come into our own, and often we are late bloomers, we can really shake it up, literally.
Well, you know, I mean, I just love Betty White. To me, she is the epitome of living life large and living with joy. Look at her. I mean, she's at her 90th birthday, and she's having such a good time.
Yes, she is. Talk about a dog lover.
Yes. Oh, I know. And again, I'm so sorry about your loss.
Thank you, sweetie.
He's
one of the great ones, you know?
Yeah.
Your little Harley.
Yes. That happened 2 years ago in March. And it's they become members of the family. They're like children.
Yes.
And what I love about animals is how they treat us. Unconditional
mm-hmm.
love.
Yeah, well, I noticed there's such a bond, a deep bond that goes beyond any of the stuff that you can say about an animal. And I realize that they're part of the family and they teach us mm-hmm. unconditional love. But my gosh, I almost feel like I knew this dog and my other dog, Mukunda, from another life or something. And they weren't dogs. They were somebody or something else. So
they could have been.
Yeah, I just can't explain it. And, of course, I've had my astrologer friend come on the show every week for a few years. And she was, and also Amy Flynn, I don't know if you know her. She's a medium, trans medium, was very much loving, just loved Ulysses' spirit, even though she never met him face to face. But she has, they all had this idea that these dogs were very special. And I think they all are. I mean, it's not like these dogs and the, every dog is just so beautiful, such the way they tune into you. And as they get older, they become more intelligent. And this thing about you can't teach an old dog new tricks, well, that's just ridiculous. It's just as stupid as saying you can't teach an old person a new language or how to play a musical instrument, that kind of thing. Very highly evolved. I'd say they're not even... Yeah, they are highly evolved beings, is what mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. So that's my stance on... And cats, they're just amazing creatures, all animals.
Yeah. they create amazing bonds. I mean, you hear how they show up after years of being lost. They find their way home. There's
yeah.
no explanation for something like that. It just happens.
It is. It does.
Or, you know, I heard a wonderful story of something about they had a dog, and the dog would be in the window at a certain time every day. They would figure out long before the owner's car ever came down the street. They were already in the window. They just knew.
Oh, well, that is true. That, I mean, everything you say is true. But they have this sixth sense about when you're going to come home, and it's not because you come home at the same time every day.
No.
They know exactly when you are coming. I had a remarkable experience the day after Ulysses passed where I did take a video of it. I haven't had a chance to properly tag it
mm-hmm.
before I put it up on YouTube. But the thing is, I was feeling not so hot. I look out the window, and there are $5 looking at me, looking very liberated, wandering around. I got a picture of them kind of ramming each other. And then I look up on the hill, and there's a few more. There's not you just don't see buck like that. And they're just all in one place. And I think they don't show themselves because they knew there were dogs around. And mm-hmm. dog, I should say. And just suddenly, not even 24 hours after the dog had passed, they were out there hanging out. So I took a video. It was like male energy personified.
Oh, my gosh.
It just sent chills, because
yeah.
it was so powerful. Except the communication. Oh. Mm-hmm. They all were in communication, these animals. Ulysses would go to the river every day, and the geese would come over and talk to him, and he communicated with them. He would swim out to them. These were wild geese, and they came around to see him.
Yeah.
And lately they've been wondering where he is. So it's just amazing.
Yeah.
The communication.
What
the
a wonderful
web of creation. Yeah.
Yeah. What a wonderful experience you've had with him. You should write something about it. That should be
a lot of the prayers. A lot of the prayers are geared to the animals. So I have written about it, and it's very beautiful. They're very beautiful. We have a lot to learn from them.
We do.
We called Ulysses the Zen Master, and he would run into our meditation room and go immediately into a trance. We'd say, "Let's meditate," and he'd go running out.
Who would take him to work with you?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that cute? That's wonderful. Wonderful.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So I think our generation, I'm just so excited about what our generation can teach. Those our age, those younger, it's just the opportunities are endless because of our wisdom and how we can help others transform.
It comes from life experience, and I realized that I had a story that women would identify with. They would find a piece of it within their own lives.
Yes.
That there was something to learn from it. And as I was writing it, some days was very painful. I'd really be crying my eyes out because I was reliving a lot of this stuff, this old stuff that I had let go of, that no longer controlled my life, no longer was my identity, and here it was coming back on paper. But when I was through writing it, I had another epiphany. I said, you know what? I walked the perfect path. My journey was perfect because it brought me to this point of wanting to get this message out to women, these five steps of faith, to teach them, you too can do this. So we brought me to that point. So it was a perfect, my past is perfection. It brought me to writing the book and delivering the message that I have.
So many times when people write books that are of a personal nature, families can get upset, but it doesn't sound like yours has.
Oh, that's incorrect.
Okay.
I have gotten some tremendous resistance. Yes. Some tremendous
resistance. Well, because
resistance.
You are kind of, your sister is more like your mom. Now, I'm not yeah. even, I just tuned into her, but she probably, and you said she has a tremendous need to keep things quiet and, and not away from the world. So here you are, just you know, coming out into the kind of naked before the world, and that might be a little difficult.
Well, I think what happens is any time a family member comes forward with their story, not only my situation, but I think for anyone, it probably brings up unhealed things, unhealed issues. And so rather, some people will face those issues, and other people are going to stay exactly where they are. And they don't want to look at them or address them. So, no, there's been some resistance, but I just have to stay on my path. I have to pray for anybody who doesn't support me on this. Fine, I understand. That's not a problem, but I keep moving forward. I hold them in my prayers daily, and that they will heal.
They will heal. And coupled with the fact that issues with alcoholism historically and notoriously cause so much shame, and the nature of the disease is shame, and people are ashamed of it. They're afraid of it. They're afraid of talking about it. But in reality, it seems to be something that's in everybody's family. It's whether people talk about it or not, it's not going to heal. If they don't talk about it, it's just not going to heal.
Right. And I'm sure you're seeing this. Kids are younger and younger and younger that experiment with alcohol and pills. It's really getting scary.
It is.
It was very unusual when I was a teenager, for someone my age to really drink and enjoy it. They did it more to sample and to be, quote-unquote, cool, but not really to drink because they liked it. That was very unusual. So today, kids are really, it's the statistical data that's coming out is really frightening. You know, how many lives are impacted now by somebody who, you know, has a alcoholism in their family or a relative? The employment statistics, how many people lose work because of it, or a family member loses work because of it. It goes on and on. It has a huge impact on our society, and I don't think people realize it.
No, they don't. Or maybe they are starting to. I had a gentleman on this program whose name is Dan L. Hayes, who wrote a book about his father being a pretty violent alcoholic, and the way that Dan was privy to all that violence, and how he healed. But he healed with this 12-step program with the adult children of alcoholics. And I just think all those 12-step programs, if people would take advantage of Al-Anon, they would be so far farther along. And it's so great that Dan took advantage of ACOA. And and when people get involved in those programs, they never are sorry.
No. It's wonderful if they can embrace it. I meet people that have a lot of resistance to the religious component of AA. The identification of God and much of the language. And I think that's where some people put up a wall or just won't accept that. I try to tell them, look it. If you don't believe in God, believe in yourself. Believe in a higher version of you. You have a higher level of intelligence and consciousness that can direct your life. There is a divine mind within you that will speak to you and guide you and lead you, regardless of whether you want to believe in God or not. There is this higher level of consciousness, and you need to tap into that.
Right. Well, I can understand people's resistance to saying the Lord's Prayer, for instance, or but you have to get beyond that if you want to be healed. I mean, it's just part of the ritual that people do. I mean, not every group does it anyway, and maybe they don't have to do that too. I think maybe if it offends too many people, maybe they should just do away with it. It is so important to take what works and leave the rest.
Yep. I was raised a Catholic, and I mm-hmm. went to church every Sunday as a young person, but I never embraced Catholicism. To me, it was about guilt. It was about, you know, it was rules and sins mm-hmm. and just so dogmatic.
Yeah.
My addiction turned me on to becoming spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I am a very spiritual person. And I practice,
yes.
you know, every day, every morning. I have a spiritual practice that I engage in that has created for me the life I have today.
Mm-hmm. I think in the morning it's really important to have a spiritual ritual of meditation or prayer or mm-hmm. both, and mm-hmm. it sets the tone for the day. And when you don't do those things, my goodness, it really makes the difference between night and day.
Yeah. I recommend that people make it their own experience, and you can use meditation, you can use prayer, you can use journaling, because writing can also be very purifying. And
mm-hmm.
A combination of I use all three, and it's such a cleansing to start the day and just clear any negative feelings or energy or emotion I have going on in my body, to get centered and balanced, connect with my, authentic self, that divine guidance that I rely on. It's just such a miraculous way to start your day every day. And it's not hard. Once you just have to practice. It's like hitting a tennis ball. You have
mm-hmm.
to just keep practicing it until you get it.
Yeah. You can get tennis balls like the dogs do when they play ball all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that it's very important to start out the day. I don't know if you've ever tried the morning pages or done the morning pages for any length of time, but Julia Cameron, in her book, The Artist's Way, and
yeah.
every writing book that she's ever written, she always emphasizes the importance of doing these morning pages. And
mm-hmm.
they are, like, she calls them the Western equivalent of meditation. And like I think that is a good way to meditate as well. She talks about three legal size page longhand without really thinking too much. You just write, and stuff comes out and actually opens the well of creativity.
Yes,
I really like the morning pages. They're very effective.
Powerful practice. Wonderful practice.
Yes.
It's cleansing. It really gets a lot of stuff out of the head.
Yeah, and that's where it needs to get out of the head and into the heart.
Yep. Yep.
And the other stuff is, people may not like that. It's just everybody needs to devise their own path, because not everybody can practice the same way. Not every practice speaks to every person.
No, and that's why I emphasize it's really got to be a personalized experience. The first step that I write about, focus, meaning going within, looking
mm-hmm.
for that divine guidance, you have to make that a personal experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe it's walking meditation. Maybe it's, a mindful meditation. Maybe you're lying down. Maybe you're sitting in a chair. Maybe you're reading some just nice spiritual material that is very
mm-hmm.
comforting and soothing. I also read Science of Mind. I love it. And,
Science of Mind is great, yes.
Oh, it's wonderful. I just love Ernest Holmes. I get the little magazine monthly, and that's how I start my day.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the
I
seeds.
I like the grapevine. The grapevine is great. I like the grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever read that?
Is that the one that they do online as well?
Yeah, they do.
Comes out like on Sunday, and you get your meditations for the week.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, just wonderful stuff. And if you start your day with material like that, instead of
to get up
jumping
a few
out
hours
of bed,
earlier. Yeah, it's good to get up a few hours earlier, too, in order to feel less rushed. Yeah, you don't want to feel rushed doing these things.
You have to allocate the time. And so for, you know, people that want to do this, you've got to get up an hour earlier. You have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take time at first to really get something established. So you've got to allocate the time. That's absolutely a must. But once you do, and if you get out of bed and you're in fear, you can eliminate that fear first thing in the morning and cleanse yourself of the anxiety and the fear, and then get a sense of direction about how you want to, I call it observing the situation rather than reacting to it. Is, you know, if you're caught in a conflict and you wake up with that, you're able to observe
mm-hmm.
what's happening and how you should best proceed, rather than reacting to it and getting caught in it, and then you're in a tailspin and the day goes by and what has happened? You've spent a whole day all tied up in fear and negativity and anxiety and panic, and when it could have been eliminated.
Yes. And your story, your spiritual awakening that you had, reminds me very much of the Bill Wilson spiritual awakening that he had, which really prompted the whole AA movement, 12 steps and so forth. And, you know, people, but in reality, a lot of times with in AA or in this periods of recovery, the early recovery, let's say, there's a gradual momentum that is built towards one's recovery. But I always say that the kind of experience you had and Bill Wilson had is really a gift to suddenly be struck with a lightning bolt like that.
Right.
And, you know, that's a rare occurrence. I just wanted to point that out.
I think it's because I was looking at death.
Mm-hmm.
I really,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if that had not happened, I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I would have
died
today. Yeah. And that's why that voice came through so loud.
Yes.
Because I was really at the threshold of death. And ready.
And so was Bill Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that is what. Well, of course, a lot of other people are too, but they may not admit it. But you were really close, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't have taken too much longer to.
No.
Did
not feel I really had anything to live for any longer. I couldn't see a way. I could not see a way out of all my suffering and what was going on. I was too consumed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And to think, when I look back now and I say, oh, my God, how I was so caught up in all the past mistakes, all the past failed relationships, that all became my identity, and I could no longer see who I was anymore. I didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't exist. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it?
No, I didn't exist. But once I started my recovery and I started working and doing things that would reinforce my recovery and strengthen me, and I started to pay attention to what I was thinking and how I was feeling and the things that I did, and, you know, identifying my negative behaviors and setting intentions and doing all these things, once I started to do all of that, the real Mal came through.
Yes.
The
heroic Mal.
Emerged. The loving, kind, compassionate, authentic Mal came through.
Beautiful. Yes. That, I'm looking through here. I, as I was reading your book, I realized that you have placed a lot of emphasis on creating the vision board, as an example, or creating a statement of a statement for your future that you would repeat several times a day. That's a big success kind of suggestion, and you know all the literature. It probably came about through Napoleon Hill, I would say.
Oh, I must have read, I don't know how many books on self-help and personal growth and development, and, you know, Napoleon Hill and Wayne Dyer and Tony Robbins, and I love Yogananda. I mean, it goes
me
on
too.
And on.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just hundreds of these people that I would read their works and would get just a nugget of inspiration from each of them. There were so many brilliant ideas about things that I could do myself, do myself for myself to transform my life.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to think. It can be so, you can anticipate so much and then really enjoy the process. And it really is a form of therapy, really.
And I still have a vision board at my right over my desk, and I put pictures of things that I love. I have a new picture. It's a picture of the Taj Mahal, and it's on my meditation tray. I have this chair that I love, and I have an ottoman, and I have this wonderful tray, Kate, with small Buddhas and mala beads. Oh, a lovely candle, and oh, beautiful little silver medal I got on a trip. And my new addition that I look at every day is this gorgeous picture of the Taj Mahal. And I'm coming. I will be there soon. I will be standing in front of this magnificent building very soon. That's my next thing. I want to go to the top.
You do love to travel, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
Great for you.
Yeah.
Did you ever get back to the Great Wall of China? And you
I haven't
said you're
gone
gonna...
yet. That
you
I'm
will.
Going to do. And
yes.
I am going, and I'm bringing a little picture of my sweet pea with me. And I'm going to leave it right there at the Great Wall.
Oh, beautiful.
We're making that trip together.
Yes, you are. Oh, my gosh. You must write about that. What a powerful, powerful spiritual journey that will be.
That's going to be huge for me. So what I'd like to do is just maybe take 3 weeks and do that whole area. I'd love to go to China. I'd love to go to India. I'd love to go to Thailand and see. There's some specific things I want to see, but I'm going to the Great Wall. I made a promise.
Yes. Isn't that something? It's maybe the timing just hasn't been right, but I'm sure you will do it.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to do it.
Yeah. I would say within the next 24 months, I will have made that journey. I've been working on the book and the launching of the, you know, the packaging, the launching, the social media, you know, building the author platform. This has been a 4-year project, which is now becoming real in 19 days. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. How did you meet Devorah Lansky? She's so beautiful. And that's how you and I met, was through Devorah. Yeah. And she's going to be on this show next week.
She's wonderful.
I know.
Devorah has absolutely been my saving grace in all of this. Building an author's platform is a very intimidating process. It requires so much social media, and there's so much social media now that, in one sense, I mean, it's absolutely wonderful for anybody that's an author that wants to publish their own book, because it levels the playing field, and we can do everything that the big boys can do. But so much of it is so time-consuming. You have to pick and choose what are the best strategies here. What do we need to do? Because you can get so lost and so overwhelmed, which is what was happening to me. I was getting buried by it.
Ah, and then you met Devorah. How did you meet her?
I met Devorah. Well, I had been doing a lot of online classes, and I signed up for her like master series. She had, I think it was 20 of the leading experts in self-publishing in a a webinar that she did that went on daily for like, I think it was 20 different. Oh, then wait a minute. No, they were there were. Excuse me. There were I think three people that spoke each day, and I had done that twice. Once last late last spring, and I think once in the fall. And then I just loved what she was doing and connected with her, and she was just releasing her book. So I read her book, and then I posted a review of the book. And then I reached out to her about coaching me and working with me one-on-one before I launched the book. And we just connected, and I'll tell you, she's just a wonderful woman. She is so patient. She knows how to teach. I've learned so much. I don't know if I would have the peace of mind looking at my launch, being in 19 days, being as comfortable as I am right now, if it weren't for Devorah.
Right. Oh, my gosh. What a teacher. She knows the art of teaching.
Yes.
Well, tell us more about your launch. Now, for the last 3 weeks, as you said, you have been on probably radio shows and different, media like that. And then you say you're going to get into the blogging tour.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
So I've been on a virtual book tour, which is now wonderful because you get to do it in your flannel jammies and your fluffy slippers, and you don't have to leave the house. It's the best. And so what happens is I've been doing all these radio shows, blog talk shows, some webinars that people have been running, and I still have about 2 more weeks of that. But then next week I start my virtual blog tour where I have 15 different blogs that I will be appearing, where I've written a guest blog post for a specific day, and that host asked me 3 questions, and I responded to those 3 questions, and they will post my blog. One of the ones that is going to be featuring me, which I'm so flattered about, is called Inspire Me. It's huge. They have a couple of 100,000 followers. I mean, they're really.
You said Inspire Me? Is that what it's
Inspire
called?
Inspire Me. And yes. I will be at Inspire Me on February 10th.
Oh, how exciting.
I will be featured that day, so it's very exciting. And just some other wonderful people, who are interested in women's empowerment and, women's recovery. So it's just a phenomenal opportunity and experience. It's very.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is. And it's all lined up, and all you have to do is show up.
Yes. And then, of course, someone like yourself that reached out to me to support me on my journey here and help me get my message out. This is how people have been treating me, Kate. It's unbelievable how many people want to help us as authors who have a story to tell that's inspiring to other people. Everyone reaches out and tries to help you.
I agree. There's a whole new world online and on the internet that is very positive. People are into transformation. There's a huge lot of us and many, many others who want to change the world for the better. And there's no time. This is the time.
Yes.
2012, the so-called end of the Mayan calendar. I think there's a lot of different sudden changes that are going to be taking place this year, and our message is more needed now than ever before.
Well, my mission is to change the quality of women's lives for the better. To step out of their pain and into their power. There is a simple 5-step process they can use. It's powerful. And it will help them transform to realize who they are and that they don't have to be handcuffed by the past and they don't have to be living in fear of the future. They can embrace this present moment and live fully.
Yes. Living in the now that's another thing the dogs teach us, how to live in the present moment. These things are so important as we gather these precious jewels of recovery to our hearts and we learn to use them for the betterment of everybody, not just ourselves. Mm. It's very important. And as you said now, we find this amazing support system. Well, first of all, it does come from the divine. And when people are working from that attitude of cooperation and coupled with the message that you have and in your book, and you have a coaching program as well,
mm-hmm.
which we haven't talked about. So tell us a little bit about that.
I have a coaching practice where I can work one-on-one with women to
mm-hmm.
help them work with this five-step process to embrace it and bring it into their lives and make it work for them.
Right.
So that they can also make changes in their lives. I call it empowerment coaching. I won't be able to do any coaching till probably March because of, you know, everything that's happening with the telesummit in 2 weeks and then the book. But if someone, you know, is interested, they can email me and I will be happy to respond to them within 48 hours and then set up a free consultation with them sometime after March 1 that, you know, to see if we're a good fit to work
mm-hmm.
with them.
And tell us about your telesummit.
The telesummit is February 7th, 8th, and 9th, and I'm so honored to have some of the leading people that are recognized worldwide and nationally for the work that they do in self-help and transformational work. I've got Dr. Joseph Rubino. He's one of the leading authorities on self-esteem. Lisa mm-hmm. Coffey. She just launched a book today, What's Your Dharma? She's has her own show, The Coffee Talk, and has had, I think, 3 or 4 bestsellers already, and has
mm-hmm.
just released her new book today. Brenda Adelman, who is from Los Angeles, who wrote a very powerful book about forgiveness, wonderful woman, just lovely. Her father murdered her mother and then
mm-hmm.
married her mother's sister. And she writes about going through that process of forgiveness. I mean,
oh my gosh, that is pretty powerful. Wow.
Yes. And
if she can do it, anybody can do it, right?
You know, I mean, that's forgiveness if I ever heard
yeah.
of forgiveness.
That's
and
right.
Christine Clozier and Paula Tarrant and Chaney Weiner, who's one of the leading authorities on the law of attraction for women. So just all these people are getting together to support me on my launch, and I'm just so honored with their participation.
That is. Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
So, February 7th, 8th, and 9th, if anybody's interested, any of your listeners, they can just go to alphachick.com. There's a button right at the top that says Telesummit. It will take them to all the information. There's another button there about free gifts that go with the book the day of February 14th when you purchase it on Amazon.com. All of these luminaries, as well as others, are giving free gifts to accompany my book. So it's very powerful. I mean, the support in the community is just... it's overwhelming.
It is. Congratulations. Yeah. It'll be a great launch.
Thank you. I'm so excited about it. It's all really happening now. And, you know, I've been dealing with some resistance on the sidelines, but I'm working my way through it. And I'm going to be fine, and the launch is going to be great.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Once again, it's AlphaChick. Is it www.alphachick.com or?
Yes,
I think it might be.
And that's
yeah.
C-H-I-C-K, just in case. If some people think sometimes maybe it's C-H-I-C. It's C-H-I-C-K, alphachick.com.
Oh, good point. And how did you come upon the term alphachick?
Well, I was with a group of ladies one day. We were having lunch, some dear friends of mine, and I was looking at us, and each one of us had a story,
mm-hmm.
had gone through something, and... one of the other women had battled alcoholism and a significant relationship that ended. Another one of my friends, her husband, was killed very suddenly in an automobile accident on a business trip. Another one had gone through a really nasty divorce, but we all had survived. We'd all gone through stuff. And here we were together, living life, enjoying it, passionate about our careers and what we were doing, passionate about the people that we were having relationships with, our, you know, our family, our friends, a significant other. And I looked at them and I said, you know what, ladies? We are alpha chicks. Well, they loved it. They will love that. I love that. Oh, I love it. And that's what started it. And I
I bet that was a great moment.
Yes, it was. And so I held on to that term for a very long time. And when I started to write the book, I said, I'm going to call it Alpha Trek, because that's what we are. We've lived life. We've gone through sorrow and loss. But look where we are now.
Right. It's a tribute to the human spirit.
Yes. And the tribute to women's spirit.
Women's spirit.
Women's spirit.
Yeah.
Persevere. Yes.
Yeah, the movement that you are talking about, and I think that really women are coming forward into their own and being so-called equal more now than ever before. And then the younger people, too, are championing that cause, women's rights and women's ability to be equal and to be themselves and championing their tremendous gifts.
Well, what's encouraging is that women now are speaking more. They're speaking more about what's not working in their lives, where they never used to. I know my mother never spoke about what wasn't right in her life or what, you know, things that were bothering her. They were never discussed. There was never any inclination that there were issues. But today, women are starting to say, whoa, this is not working for me. I don't need to be in this. This is not going to be good. Now, they don't realize sometimes that they have choices about getting out or making change. But they're starting to at least say, whoa, this isn't right. This is not good. Now what do I do? Big step in the right direction.
And now what will I do? And get into a meditative space and speak to our higher power or the divine or however you want to say it. And look to nature for guidance. And it's just amazing the power of prayer, and which I have been engaging in the last several years. It's just very, very much, it all interweaves. It all builds on each other.
Oh, prayer is just such a wonderful thing. You know,
it is. It truly is.
Vibration.
Go ahead.
It changes your energy and your vibration when you pray.
Yes. I'm looking at your Alpha Chick website here, and I really encourage people to go over there. And there's just so much going on, and it's really a beautiful site, and very I see the teleseminar, and everybody needs to, and the free gifts, and everybody needs to go over there and take a look.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. So we've actually reached the end of our hour. You've done a beautiful job, and you're doing a great job, and it's just wonderful to see your story and read your story. I really highly recommend the book because I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm so glad you did, Kate. Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
I was going to say, if you're comfortable, please post a review on Amazon for your
phone. Oh, I will.
Yeah.
Is it up on Amazon yet? Not yet.
I'll send you the link. It's sitting right there.
Yeah, please do.
Post a review. I'll send you the link. Yep.
Oh, that's a great idea. I will do so because that's really a cool thing to do. And also, I'm going to play Music for Mother and Child by Klaus T. Jensen. And I wish you great success on your launch. And you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you so
much. Thank you, Mal. Thank you.
And faithfully. Bye.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.